Guys, welcome back to the All For God Sol Deo Gloria podcast. Today we have yet another amazing team guest, Ethan Johnson. Hey Ethan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing great. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm super excited for today's episode. But before we get started, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
So I am 18 years old. I live in Colorado. I just graduated high school, and then I'm about to move out and go to college where I'm going to study theology and kind of just learn a little more about the Bible and a little more about God.
That's awesome. So we're going to go ahead and hop right in because we have a lot of material to get through. Now, we have to get started with something that I'm super curious about, and that's the fact that you actually got to preach at your church quite recently. What were you feeling before you got on the stage, and how it's changed you?
So right before I got on stage, I was feeling pretty nervous. And at our church, before we ever go into the message, always do two worship songs. And so during the two worship songs, I was just sitting backstage and I began to kind of sing and just praise God. And it gave me kind of a peace about what I was going to say, and a piece about how, like, I felt this pressure to preach well and to preach a good message. And I think what I realized, like, in that time of worship right before the message is it doesn't have to be a good message. God just has to be behind my message. And so I think I got a little bit of peace just from knowing that it's not me that has to be good, but it's God that has to deliver, and he always will. And so I think I got a little bit of peace right before I was about to preach, because I knew that my God was going to do all the work. I just had to take a step of faith and do what I had been given the opportunity to.
That's awesome. And what were you feeling when you got on the stage and actually started to preach?
Honestly, when I got on the stage and started speaking, like, it's almost like I blacked out. Like, I barely even really remember what I said. It was recorded. The message was recorded so that a few other people could watch it that had asked to see it. And I actually had to rewatch it myself, because, like, as soon as I got up there, it really was just God taking the wheel. And so I just started talking, but I barely even remembered, like, how it went or what I said. And so the next after a few days, I actually rewatched it, because as soon as I got up there, I just kind of started talking, and I wasn't nervous, I wasn't forcing anything. I was just retelling people or students what God had been teaching me while I Did I cut out for a second?
Yes, you did.
Sorry. When did I cut out? You want me to redo the whole question or just
the ending part?
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, I just, like I said before, I just, like, blacked out. Like, God really took control, and it was really cool to see how that happened, how, like, I could preach an entire message and barely remember it, to the point where I had to go rewatch it. It just kind of showed how involved God is in, and how he shows up when we take a step of faith.
That's awesome. That's incredible. Now, how has your experience doing that, like, helped you or changed you?
I think it was pretty kind of clarifying for me. I had always, like, the past couple years, I've always felt called to be in ministry, but I never really knew, like, what I was supposed to do or how it was supposed to look, or if that was even my calling, and I think it was clarifying for me to be given that opportunity. And I think, like, I think it just kind of taught me how to kind of wait for opportunities, and when opportunities come, like, to always take them. Because when I was asked to speak, I really, like, I had no idea what to say. And like a week after, like, he asked me to speak, and a full week after, I still didn't even know what to talk about. And I was, like, so nervous that I didn't have anything to say. I almost, like, texted my youth pastor. I was like, hey, I just don't even know if I can, if I'm ready for this. And, but I think it kind of, it showed me to always take the opportunities that you can get, especially if it's something that you want to do. I think it's really important to always be searching for you know, for a door to open.
Definitely. And, you know, you said that you were struggling, you know, to figure out what you were going to talk about. And sometimes with my podcast, that's kind of hard to do, too, because I had to come up with all the questions and stuff. So I was wondering, what did you do to help you, you know, be able to figure out what you were going to talk about?
So I did kind of a combination of two things. What I first did is I started listening to a bunch of other members to just kind of get an idea, because I was a part of a series called, what was it called? I think it was called the World Changers series. And so I had to be speaking about world change in some type of way. And so I started listening to a bunch of sermons just to sort of fish for ideas and look for stuff and see what I liked, and I kind of already had a passage of scripture picked out. And so listening to a bunch of sermons and a bunch of messages around that topic really helped me kind of get some ideas. But the one thing that I would say helped me more than anything else was I just prayed that God would give me revelation. And what that is like, just that's when God is speaking to you. Because I knew, I could work and work and work on a sermon, but I knew that if God wasn't behind what I was doing and the work that I was putting into it, then it wouldn't be as good or as useful as it could be. And so that was one of the big things for me, just praying that God would speak to me. And I picked a passage of scripture. I talked about Abraham, actually, when he was wandering, looking for the so-called promised land that God was going to make a nation out of. And I just, like, started reading that passage that I knew I was going to talk about over and over and over, and just praying that God would teach me something new so that I could go teach it to new people, or to the students, I should say. And that was something that really helped me when I was preparing, is just making sure that everything that I was doing was centered at God, and nothing was about me or what I did, what I could do, or that. I just really tried to keep it centered on the fact that God is going to help me do this, and it's not going to be me doing some amazing sermon or amazing research, and just keep remembering, I guess, that, like, it's all him always.
Yeah, that's really great. And I think that sometimes when you're getting into stuff like that, it can be really easy to forget that you're doing it to bring glory to God, and that you're doing it for God and you're not doing it for yourself. And so I think that's always something important to remember in every situation. Now, you said you're going to be a freshman going into college next year, and I was wondering, you said you're going to be studying theology, but I was wondering if you know exactly what you're going to want to be doing after college, because there are so many different options that you can do with that. Like, you can become a preacher, you can do missionary work, there's so many different options. What are you thinking about doing?
So, ever since, I mean, like, I would say since eighth grade, so for 6 years, I've really felt like a calling to preaching. And so I just started like trying to do everything that I could do to sort of prepare myself. And now it's like the time is kind of got to start choosing like what I want to do. And when I was trying to decide, and I still have time for sure, and things can change. And that's one thing I love about God is sometimes you have a plan in mind and God has a totally different plan. But right now, after I graduate college or finish my schooling, which with what I'm doing could be 4 to 5 years, I would love to be speaking at a church. And that would be my plan. But I also am aware that it is like that moment of picking a career and deciding what I'm going to do is years and years away. And I'm also very understanding that sometimes God takes our plans and totally rearranges them. And so, like you said, there's a lot that I could do, whether that's missionary or speaking or just working in a church, being behind the scenes or even teaching. All of that I think is great stuff. And so I don't really know what I'm going to do yet. If I could have a choice, it would, I think for sure, be being a speaking and teaching pastor. But I'm sort of just kind of following what I think God has for me. And so I think I'll figure more of that out when I get to that place in my life a few years down the road. But as of now, I think that's what I would like to do.
That's awesome. So, I mean, I'm kind of curious to know about this as well, because your dad preaches at Red Rocks Church, and you recently preached there as well. So I was just wondering if, after you're done, if that's the church that you would want to be preaching at, or if you would want to start a new church, or if you would want to preach at different churches, or do you not exactly know yet?
I do actually, like, I love Red Rocks Church, and one of the cool things about my dad being a pastor is when I was probably, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years old, he started getting asked to travel to other churches and speak, so I would often travel with him, and so I got to see a bunch of other churches, and I've just, like, Red Rocks Church has just been my home. I was 2 years old when we started the church, and so, like, when I was, like, 3, 4, 5, and, like, I would spend every Sunday at church because we would have to set up and tear down, and both my parents would work there, so I was stuck there all day, and it's just, like, it became where I grow up, and it's just something that I believe in. So I do love Red Rocks Church, but before I make any decisions or even, like, and the other thing is it's not just, like, you can, you know, pick and choose. You have to kind of connect with the church and their staff in order to be a part of it. But I would like to do a couple internships throughout my college career and visit a couple other churches and just get to serve on their team and help out and see what it's like. And the nice thing about, like, being a pastor's kid is you're sort of like you make some church friends. And so there are some pastor friends of other churches that I've made that I really like, and that I would really like to go, you know, do an internship and just serve and see how their church operates and runs. And so there's some places I want to see, but I do love what Red Rocks Church is doing and believe in what it's doing. And I would love to be there if possible.
I actually, so we live in Wisconsin now, but I love listening to, like, the Red Rock Church services on Sundays, because they're incredible. So if you don't have a church, that's a great one to check out. And we're going to have to keep going on here. So what I'm also curious about is, you know, what your advice would be to the new generation of teens that are coming up that maybe aren't exactly sure what they're going to do when they're older, and maybe they're a little bit worried about that. What would be your advice to them?
My advice for someone who doesn't fully know what they're doing yet is to not stress out about it. Like, senior year, your final year of high school, you see it a bunch, because that's when everybody starts picking a college. And there's so many of my friends who, like, they're like, I just don't know what I want to do yet. I don't know what I want to major in. And for me, like, that was even me for a long time. I was really late in deciding on what school to go to. And maybe for you, college isn't even the right path. And what I've come to realize is, like, we have so much time, and it's sort of weird. Like, in high school, you've got to ask to use the bathroom, and then 2 weeks later, people are like, okay, now you've got to, you know, they make it seem like, now you've got to decide what you're going to do for the rest of your life. And I just realized, like, it's not like that. You don't have to know, like, in high school what you're going to do. You have so much time to figure it out. And so that's, I think, would be my number one piece of advice, is to not stress out about it, because you're what you want to do will come. And I also would say, when searching for what you want to do, search for what you're really, really passionate about. And I actually heard this in a sermon by another pastor. He was saying that your pain is often your purpose. So something that you go through, something that you experience that gives you a connection to that thing will often be your purpose. And so for me, like people has always been my purpose. I've always felt like whenever one of my friends is going through something, like, I sort of feel that pain for them. And I just realized, like, because I just have this sense of, like, being emotional towards my friends and towards other people's situations, like, that's my purpose, is chasing people and letting them know that there's something greater, that there's a greater life. And so when you're searching for what you want to do, search for what gives you purpose, because you want to be doing something that you enjoy at the end of the day. And that's what I love about, like, of life, being a kid, is we get to figure it out all for ourselves, what we like and dislike and want to do. And so those are my two bits of advice, is number one, don't stress out. Don't feel like you have to have it all figured out by the time you're 18. You can get it figured out by the time you're 30, 40, or you can never have it figured out. Sometimes I think that's the best thing. It's just going through life and seeing what you can do. And so don't stress out, and for what brings you purpose. Look for what you find purpose in, because at the end of the day, you want to be doing something that you love, something that you're passionate about.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with that. And that's what I do a lot of times, because honestly, I don't really know what I'm going to do yet when I'm older, because there's so many different things that I'd be interested in doing, whether, you know, coaching, teaching, or doing something similar to Tanya Crevier, or, you know, prison ministry or missionary work. There's just so many different options out there, so many different things that I'd be interested in doing. And I agree with what you said. You know, you can't really freak out about it, because you do have a lot of time, and, you know, you just got to let God's plan for you work out in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's really all I got on that, so we're going to go ahead and keep going. But one thing that I personally struggle with a lot is living up to expectations. And with your dad being one of the preachers at such a well-known church, might be something that puts a little pressure on you. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, so that is probably one of the biggest, like, things that I deal with, is living up to the image, to the person that my dad has become, or people expecting me to be that. There's always been this pressure as a pastor's kid of, like, you have to be perfect because you're the son or daughter of a pastor. And that pressure for me when I was, like, in middle school was really, it was honestly really heavy. And it was something that kind of kept me away from church, because I knew that if I ever, like, wanted to work in a church, that I would have to be sort of comparing myself to my father. And I had this moment with this other student, one of my good friends, and she just told me, like, she was like, man, I feel like it was in eighth grade. I'd never told anybody that I wanted that I felt called to go into ministry. I just didn't want to tell people because I was young. I didn't want to be like, oh, I want to do this for the rest of my life and then switch it up. So I just never told anybody. And one of my friends, she came up and she was talking to me and she prayed. She asked if she could pray for me. And she, in her prayer, talked about how she felt like I was called to ministry. And then after she told me, she was like, you don't ever have to be anybody but Ethan Johnson. And for those of you who don't know, my dad is Sean Johnson. She goes, you're not Sean Johnson's son. You're Ethan Johnson, and you're going to do great things in your own way. And that was sort of just freeing for me to realize that, like, I don't have anything to live up to. I'm my own person. And
yeah.
And it's still a battle, you know. Comparisons, I think, is a huge battle for all of us, especially with Instagram and Snapchat and TikTok and just everything. It's so easy for us to compare our stuff, our things, vacations, like how we look, and we compare it to all these people on social media. And so it's still an everyday thing that I just have to remind myself that I'm my own person. Like, I am Ethan Johnson. I'm not a kid. That's not how I'm defined. I'm defined by being Ethan Johnson. And so, I think that's something that like I go through, and that's the way that I deal with it. But I think that every single teenager deals with comparison on such a big level, and finding a way to cope with that is, I think, crucial, because it's so easy to sort of become or try to become somebody that you're not, because you're trying to compare yourself to other people's lives, the lives that other people were called to live out. And that's another thing is we're all called differently. We were created differently. We have different gifts. And so God's going to call us differently. And so you might be doing the same job or doing the same sport or the same thing as somebody else, but you're called to do it differently. It's the same as, like, in basketball, when you have a center and a point guard, you're both playing basketball, you're both for the same team, you're both win, but your job is going to be different than their job because you were created differently. And so you're going to be called and used differently. And I think it's the same way in life. And it's something that I had to realize is that I'm different. I'm going to be different. And that's not a bad thing. It's actually a beautiful thing.
I agree with that. That is definitely very true and very good advice that you gave there. Now, are there any other things that you have personally struggled with? And if so, what did you do to overcome them?
So, let's see. My childhood has been like pretty, I don't know, it feels sort of bad to say this, but I really feel like I've been blessed. And I didn't have a perfect childhood, and there were tough things for me for sure. But I was just blessed with parents who really cared for me. And so I was raised, and like, I would look back and I would say I enjoyed my childhood. And I meet so many people who go through abuse and emotional abuse and all this stuff. And that's not my story. And
yeah,
and for me, what I struggle with is anxiety. I've just always had a little bit of anxiety, and I get worked up and in my head, and sometimes I've had like panic attacks and for stuff like that, like for those really, really hard things, like things that I've had to do is seek out support. Like, and what that is, that's what it is for whatever you're going through. Like, it's so hard, you know. The Bible says God can only work in the light, and so in order for God to begin to work in those more difficult areas of our life, we need to put them in the light. And what that looks like is sharing somebody else. God can only work on, and God can only help and aid what we're willing to be open with, what we're willing to share with others and with Him. And so something that I would do is I would seek help, seek counsel, And my dad actually struggles with anxiety a lot. And so he's somebody that I can trust and talk to. And I think that's important with whatever you're struggling with, is to have somebody that you can trust and somebody that you can be open with and vulnerable with and talk to about your struggles. Because I think it's just so important to be able to share. I don't know what it is about sharing, but when you begin to like share and call out things that are hard in your life, God begins to work on them. And then along with sharing it with others is sharing it with God. And what that looks like is maybe praying for healing, for deliverance, and staying in your word, or in the word, and continuing to worship. And I think we sometimes make like giving stuff over to God really difficult, you know, because it's like I hear pastors say it all the time. They're like, just give it to God. And it's almost like, okay, well, I would love to do that, but I don't know how to do that, you know? And for me, what it looked like to just give it to was, okay, I'm feeling anxious right now, and the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm not going to look around for some remedy or something to help me out. I'm going to throw on a worship song if I'm feeling anxious. Like whenever you're going through, giving it to God, it's just like, make God your first response. Sometimes I think we can, when we're struggling, we make God like our last resort. It's like, okay, I've tried everything else and it's not working. Now I'm going to go to God. God shouldn't be our last resort. He should be our first response. And so I think with things that you're struggling with, I think it's important to find people or a person that you can be open and vulnerable with, and then always make God your first response in time of need. Always run to God before you're running to anything else when you're struggling.
That's definitely really great advice to say there, because I think that a lot of people deal with anxiety, maybe in different cases, you know, it's a different amount of anxiety. Some people might get it way more often than other people, but I think everybody will deal with anxiety in a different way. So that's great advice. We're talking a lot about struggles right now, so I have to ask, what do you think is one major thing that teens struggle with today, and why?
Biggest things I think teens struggle with today, we kind of touched on it earlier. I think the biggest thing that we struggle with right now is comparison. I think we're like, even I am constantly just comparing what I'm doing just to my friend's life. Like, and I think it's so easy to let comparison reshape who you are. Like when you start trying to live out somebody else's life, somebody else's calling, it, and you find a lot of opposition there, and I think it's just so easy nowadays for us with social media to be comparing ourselves to each other. And I heard this in a sermon, that the number one thing that kills your calling is comparison. And it's so true, because when we are called to do something, God has placed something specific on our hearts. And so when we go trying to do something else, like it's just not going to work out the way we want it to, you know? And like for me, like I wish, like we have this one worship leader at our church. He actually produces, like he puts out some songs himself. His name is Corey Miller, but we have this one singer that like, he is just, his voice is amazing. He, listening to him makes me want to be a worship leader. But if I got up there on stage and sang, like, people wouldn't come back, because I'm just not called to be a singer. I'm not a good singer. And so I would love to do it. I would love to be a worship leader, but that's not my calling. And I think that's sort of like a dumber analogy or example of comparison. But I really do think it's easy to compare like how good we are at a sport, or how good our grade is in a certain class, or how good am I at math compared to them, or what do I wear compared to them, what do I look like. And I think we start to change who we are because we want to be like somebody else. And the reality is no matter what, you're always going to be comparing yourself to somebody different. You're always going to be comparing yourself to something else. And so if you're always trying to compete with what you're comparing yourself to, it's just never going to be enough, because there's always going to be somebody who has a little bit more. There's always going to be something else that you want, that you need, that you think that you need to have. And so, man, I think comparison just leads us to a life of trying to get things that honestly we don't even need, that they're not that they're bad things, but they're not godly things. Like, God isn't calling us to go chase more money, you know? And I think that's something that we look at and see and want a lot in comparison. And like, when I'm comparing, like, even with my friends now, like, we're all getting jobs. And so I'm always comparing, like, how much money are they making an hour? How much money am I making? Am I making more than them? Like, and it just works like that. And so I think one of the biggest things that teens struggle with right now is comparison. And I think it leads to so much more, because when we're trying to be something that we're not, that's when I think we get to like these depressive states or these anxious states. And so that's what I would say is the number one struggle that I see.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that is 100% one of the biggest struggles, because I think comparison, like you were just saying at the end there, it can lead to having other to some anxiety, or even lead to like an eating disorder or something like that. Like, I think that if you compare yourself to other people, then that's not going to help you in any way. I think that you just have to remember that, I'm pretty sure you mentioned this, is that, you know, God made you for your own purpose, to be exactly who you are to be, not to be who that other person is, but just to be who you are and who he made you to be. So that's something that's important to remember. Now, our final question before we head into our next segment. What is your advice on how to live all for God?
How to live all for God. In one word, I would say humility. I think, like, no matter what we do, you know, even like, I feel like people put living all for God, like they put preaching and ministry, like working at a church, worship, whatever you do, they put that at the top of the list. Like, they're saying, if you want to live for God, you need to be in ministry. And I just want to say, like, that is so not true. I think living for God is realizing that our God is King, that he is over us, and we are doing everything that we can to please him. And that goes for no matter what job you're in. And be like, if you're a dentist or a mechanic or whatever you're doing, you're actually going to be surrounded by people that a pastor would never have the opportunity to talk to. And you get the opportunity to talk to that person. And that's what I love about what I love about God and so-called ministry is ministry doesn't just happen in a church. Ministry happens wherever a follower Jesus Christ is. And so no matter where you're at, you can be doing ministry. And that's what I love about the Great Commission, you know, going and spreading the word. It doesn't have to be done in a church. In fact, if it was only done in a church, the church would never grow. The only way for the church to grow is for people with jobs outside of the church to be living for God, bringing people to the church. And so I would say that no matter what you're doing, the number one way to live for God is to go reach people, go try to meet people, show love, serve, whatever that looks like, and then stay humble. Like, even in church and in ministry, it's so easy to get a big ego and, you know, think you're some great pastor. Like, it's so crazy to think that even, like, people view church people as, like, perfect, and we're so not, you know, no matter what you're doing, we're all just people. And so whatever you're doing, I think it's really easy for pride to kind of make you think, no, I'm really good at this. I did this. I earned this. And at the end of the day, it's like, well, who gave you the opportunity to, you know, who gave you the opportunity to do what you got to do? Who gave you the brain, the smarts, the drive, the, you know, who gave you that? Like, it's all back to God. And so I think if you want to live all for God, be trying to reach people no matter where you are. And remember that everything you have is God given. Because when we start to get prideful is when we start to think that we are, like, you know, that we're doing things our own way. And that's when we start to push God to the side. And so keeping a humble heart and reaching lost people are the two ways that I would say, like, if you can do those things, you're going to do so much for the kingdom of God, no matter where you're at, if you can do those two things.
I agree with that. And I just want to add on a little bit to what you're saying at the end. And that's that you're saying how sometimes other people can think that church people are just perfect and they're just supposed to be perfect. But as you're saying, that's completely wrong because everybody is a sinner. So I just want to add on to that make sure that when you're approaching other people as a Christian, you don't want to come across to make other people think that you have a big head and that you think you're perfect and stuff. You have to remember to be humble because we're not perfect. And there's so many different things out there that can cause us to sin or whatever. And we're just not perfect. Like, we just aren't. So we have to accept that and be humble in all of every different situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
We are going to go ahead and get into our Would You Rather segment. So if this is your first time listening to the podcast, I'm going to explain how it's going to work. So it's going to be Would You Rather, but it's going to be Bible-themed. So I'm going to ask a Would You Rather Bible-themed question, like, would you rather be in this position or that position, basically, is what it is most of the time. So that's what I'm going to be doing. Just to explain that, so it's your first time, you know how to work. Are you ready, Ethan?
Yeah, sounds good.
So our first one is, would you rather be stuck in an ark with animals for over a year or stuck on your side for over a year?
Oh, my goodness. I think I would rather be stuck on an ark with the animals, because if I was stuck on my side, I get really bored really easy, and I just don't know what I would do, like, for an entire year just stuck on my side. I feel like that would be miserable, and I kind of like animals, so I feel like I could hang out, have something to do, feed the animals. So I think I'd go with the ark.
I'd pick the ark too, because like you said, when just side for like a year, I have no idea what I would do. And I love animals. I think that would be a choice for me. I mean, it would probably stink pretty bad if you're on that ark for long enough. Now, our next one.
Yeah, it would probably be really gross.
Yeah. Now, would you rather be rescued from prison by an angel, seeing Jesus' empty tomb?
I would have rather seen Jesus's empty tomb, because I know, like, if I was alive when Jesus was alive, to see like that was like Jesus was everything to those people. And so to see him die up on that cross, crushing, because, like, they didn't know the end of the story. You know, they don't know Jesus is coming back when they realized, like, everything Jesus said was completely true. Sorry, did I cut out for a second?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, sorry. So I would rather see the empty tomb, because just, like, it would make me realize everything that Jesus said was completely true, because, like, there were so many people when Jesus was alive claiming that they were the Son of God, claiming that they were, you know, God, and that they were coming to save the world. And all these movements, like, they all ended when the guy died, because everyone realized, well, if he were the Son of God, like, he wouldn't be dead, you know? And so to see the empty tomb would be like, this is the Son of God. Been really cool.
Definitely. And I've actually... I guess I don't, you know, like in modern times, like you can, if you're in Israel, you can go and see where they think Jesus' empty tomb is. But that's an interesting way of thinking about that. So I've never thought of it that way, but that was really. Would you rather have been present at Jesus' birth or at his resurrection?
Resurrection, for sure, because I would not want to be what they were in, like a space. That to me, and probably be kind of gross. Like, there was feeding, Jesus born a feeding trough. Like, that's gross. I would want to be at Jesus's resurrection.
I agree with that one. I think that, you know, if you're at Jesus's resurrection, you know, you're seeing a man who everybody think is just some normal guy that died and claimed he was the son of God. And then he's raising up from the dead. And you know, that's why I would choose that one.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Now, would you rather have to carry the Ark of the Covenant across the Jordan River or carry Jesus' cross to Golgotha?
Oh my gosh. I think I would rather carry the Ark across the Jordan because they would have multiple people that would carry the Ark. So at least I wouldn't be doing like all the work. And carrying a giant cross up to, like, that would just be, that would be really, I mean, either one's going to be really tough because the Ark was going to be really, really heavy because it was made out of just a ton of gold, which is super heavy. But yeah, I'd go with the Ark because there would at least be a few other people that would be carrying it with me.
I agree with that. I'd pick the Ark. And, you know, I think if you're carrying the Ark, then you'd be like, you know, this at that time, that was where this is where God was at for the Israelites. And, you know, you're carrying the cross of Jesus' cross, then you know that he's going to die on this cross. So I think I definitely would pick the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah.
So, well, I've had such a great time today, Ethan. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you guys for listening. But make sure that you spread the news about the podcast. It is now available on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, Breaker, and Anchor. Once again, thank you so much for joining in today. And remember, in all you do it all for God's glory.